Today's podcast is brought to you by Something Blue by Anita Kay, specializing in wedding and event photography. Visit her page on Facebook. For those in love, capture those memories with Something Blue by Anita Kay.
The Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast with Mark Pulo starts right now.
To an entire generation of TV viewers, he's perhaps best known as Screech from the 90s classic Saved by the Bell. But actor Dustin Diamond, whose life has been on a bit of a rocky path since, has now reached a somber crossroads, with a jury now rendering a verdict on whether he intentionally stabbed a man in a bar fight. ABC's Alex Perez has been covering the trial and has the latest for us tonight.
She was already quickly becoming covered in blood. When I started to move towards them, my focus was on approaching her to get her out of harm's way and to stop her from being hit.
Hero or criminal? Dustin Diamond, known to millions as the goofy character Screech he played on the hit 90s show Saved by the Bell.
Now show me that killer look.
A jury of 12 hearing testimony today from the former child actor facing charges for stabbing a man in a bar fight last Christmas.
I did not swing or motion the knife towards him at all. I think he injured himself when he grabbed me.
Diamond, who pleaded not guilty, maintains he was only trying to protect his fiance, Amanda Schutz. He argues that she got punched in the face and was bleeding after being harassed and assaulted after she went to stop a group of people who recognized Diamond and were trying to take pictures of him.
I didn't want anybody to suffer an injury. I wanted injuries to Amanda to stop. That was my only concern. I didn't want any kind of harm for anybody.
When you opened the knife, did you ever intend to use it?
No, it was for display purposes only, which it had the desired effect. I said, let go, and they did immediately.
His accuser claiming Diamond was the aggressor.
I opened my black coat, and there was blood all over the beige sweater.
The alleged victim, 25-year-old Casey Smet, whose blood-stained clothing was presented to the courtroom on Thursday. Yes. Clothing that Smet says he was wearing the night Diamond attacked him.
A scuffle broke out, and somehow me and Mr. Diamond became locked in into a fight.
Also shown in the courtroom.
Do you know how deep it is?
This video, shot by police who interviewed Casey Smet in his home after the fight, and telling police he didn't immediately realize he had been injured in the fight.
She said, enough with the pictures.
TMZ released this video of the moment leading up to the altercation. It was then members of the victim's family who testified the brawl broke out after Diamond's fiance, Amanda Schutz, reportedly got physical with them.
I said let go a few times.
And then what happened?
And she didn't, and I punched her in the face.
That's when more fighting broke out, according to prosecutors, as seen in surveillance video played in court.
Dustin sees this happening and tries to get in between. This is his fiance, it's a woman being beaten by these people.
But prosecutors say Diamond initially claimed he was holding a pen, not a knife, during the scuffle when questioned by police.
While our defender comes over, he saw, I'm holding the knife in my hand, or the pen in my hand, the other knife, put the knife down, he said, it's a pen, he said, just put it away.
Then changed his story when police told him Smet had been stabbed.
Mr. Diamond seems alarmed.
At that point, did Mr. Diamond change his story?
He was now conceding that he did have a knife.
Diamond admitting today in testimony the pressure of his fame led him to lie.
Officer, and I asked you if you had a knife.
Yes.
And what did you tell him?
I lied. I wanted to minimize, if I burp the wrong way, TMZ gets it. And I did not want, an event with her being hit in a bar and that being it and done to become Dustin Diamond pulled a knife at a bar on somebody.
Discrepancies that may hold the key to the verdict.
This is a piece that she says. So we've had different witnesses giving different testimonies. So the jurors are going to have to go back into the deliberation room and decide, who do we believe? Who's telling the truth? Who was the initial aggressor?
In 2006, at age 29, he released Screeched, a sex tape that he both directed and starred in. It's something he opened up to Oprah about during an episode of Where Are They Now?
The sex tape is the thing that I'm most embarrassed about. The rumor was that Paris Hilton had made $14 million off this sex tape. And my buddy said, $14 million? Holy smokes, that where is a Screech sex tape? You got to be worth at least $1 million. And I thought, yeah.
Diamond is now front and center in this Wisconsin courtroom where earlier tonight, a jury found him guilty of 2 misdemeanor charges, carrying a concealed weapon and disorderly conduct, but not guilty of the 3rd and most serious felony charge of recklessly endangering safety. Diamond's fiancée, Amanda Schutz, also found guilty of disorderly conduct.
We're happy with the results. We think justice has been done. Jury did a good job.
Diamond will return next week for sentencing.
We can't give him this much power in the cartoon world.
A podcast, and I was told that if I did your podcast that I would, you know, advance to the next level.
And we're podcasting and photographizing in front of the great.
The worst gigs of their life are because of Mark Bulos.
Anyone want a husband? Free to a home. Now it doesn't even have to be a good home, just free to a home.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andre the Giant would like to do his impression of Willie Nelson.
Suck yourself dry!
Alright.
Hello folks, and welcome back to the Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Poulos. It's good to be back. On the podcast today, good friend Randy Ancarlo is back on. We did a couple podcasts last year when we worked together in Bismarck. The second podcast, which was a huge hit, as we talked about him being Dustin Screech Diamond's opener for about a year and a half. And he's back on the podcast today to kind of revisit some of those stories. Talk about the new allegations of him stabbing somebody on Christmas Day last year, and a lot of other juicy tidbits. So excited to have him back on the program. Here's my interview with Randy Ancarlo.
Yahoo!
Hello, folks. On the program today, another gem of a gent and returning guest for the 3rd time, Randy Ancarlo.
Hey, everyone.
I am so happy to have you back, buddy. It's been a long time. Actually, I think the last episode that you were on was about 70 episodes ago.
That's crazy.
It is crazy to think.
70 episodes strong.
Yeah, holy shit, man. You're down in Minneapolis. You're with the peeps. We're out on the road. We're doing this wonderful gig tonight at the Janesville Performing Arts Center. It's always tough being the first gig. Not only were we the first gig, you were the first comedian to ever step on that stage.
That's right.
How did it feel?
It felt like they were old.
They were old. Yeah, that is true. But I'm glad to have you back on the program. Your last episode that you were on, we really got into your time as Dustin Screech Diamond's opener and some of the horrible, horrible things that he does. And I thought with us working together tonight and the whole big case surrounding him trying to stab people at a bar Christmas Day last year, it would be nice to revisit some of the better stories that you had from him, and then just kind of maybe get into some more stories, maybe give some updates on what's going on in the case.
Yeah.
People want to hear about this guy. I mean, he's
the world needs to know.
They're interested. I mean, he's out on bail. He's still touring. He's still doing comedy. It drives me crazy.
It drives me crazy, too.
But, so...
Just goes to show, you can stab anyone if you're on Saved by the Bell.
Well, I know one of my favorite stories of you working with Screech was you had a car that was horrible, and it was leaking gas. And if people don't know, if you haven't listened to the original episode, go back. I think it's around episode 58 or 59. It's called Randy Ancarlo, the Diamond Cutter. Tons of great stories on there, but Screech notoriously is a cheapskate. Would not chip in for gas at all.
He didn't pay for any gas in my leaking car.
But the other part of it, though, was no matter what gig he would book you for, the beginning of the gig always started the same. Randy gets up, gets in his car, drives from Duluth to Milwaukee, picks up Screech, and then they go to the gig. That was the start of every gig.
Every single gig.
Randy gets up, drives to Milwaukee, picks him up, and then it's go time.
Oh, drove from Duluth to Milwaukee to South Dakota or North Dakota almost all the time.
Does not make sense. But this one time, you had a car that was leaking gasoline. Now, I'm not a math wizard, but from Duluth to Milwaukee, that could be just a tank of gas.
Right, yeah, it's about 5 hours.
How many tanks of gas did it take to get to Milwaukee?
Oh, my God. It took three.
Three tanks of gas.
I didn't even know it was leaking yet.
You had no sense that you're like, I feel like I'm putting in more gas than I should be right now.
I'm not a mechanic.
So you get there, and you explain to Screech what's going on with your car.
Well, actually, I get there, and I think everything's fine at this point. I just got gas, like, right before his house, like, two blocks in front of his house. And I pull up, and we leave. And I thought everything was fine until, like, an hour away. When I have to get gas again. And I was something is going on. It smells like gas. Every single toll booth we hit, I would just think maybe a car in front of me.
Oh my God, dude. So why does every toll booth smell like gas? You guys were headed to Henderson, Kentucky, which is just south of Evansville, Indiana.
Right.
And that's a big chunk of driving from Milwaukee to Henderson. That's probably like 9 to 10 hours.
Yeah, I think it's...
So based on your original projections, that probably took you somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 tanks of gas to get there?
At least. It was, yeah.
So when was it did you realize that there's a major problem with your car?
I think we got to, was it Gary, maybe?
Okay, yeah, just south of Chicago.
I finally pulled into a gas station. I was like, I have to see what's going on. So I look under the car, and it's visibly spraying out.
Oh, my God,
gas is just pouring out. And I was like, oh, my, we've been driving like this?
Holy shit, dude.
I had no
idea. What did Screech say?
He was mad at me, really.
Oh, for
having a shitty car.
Oh, my God. This guy's the worst.
But
you guys got there, and where did you stop where he tried to use his celebrity to get the car fixed?
So we stopped right across the street from the gas station at the Midas.
Yeah.
And it was packed in there. We had to hurry. So he walks in, and of course everybody recognizes him. And so he's like, hey, we need you to look at this car. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to take probably like 2 or 3 hours. And he's like, actually, hey, man, we got a show tonight at a burn victim unit.
Oh, my God.
We're doing a show for children that were burned. Do you think maybe you could pull it up sooner? And this guy's like,
Screech.
If you take a picture with us.
Of course.
We'll pull it up.
What is with all of these, like, low-grade celebrities, like, having these dark, hidden... Jared hadn't happened the last time we were talking. But
no,
it's like,
that's crazy.
It's like shit like that, because we're going to get into some shit on this podcast. It's going to blow people's minds, but... Why not? Why not talk about it, you know? The guy's going to probably be going to jail for stabbing somebody, so who cares?
I hope so, because if not, he's going to stab me.
But didn't they tell you when they put the car up on the thing, like, you should not be driving this? This is horribly dangerous.
That's actually my favorite part of the story. This is...
Oh, was this where the guy looked under there and got sprayed in the eyes?
Yes.
Oh my God, dude.
So they pull the car in, And they lift it up, and it's probably, I don't know, like 8 feet, probably, at least. You could easily walk under the car. And,
and you see it spraying.
Yeah, the car is on as it's being lifted, and you can tell the gas is misting down. It's pouring out. And this guy... this still makes me laugh. This guy walks right underneath it, looking straight up. And this gas just pours right into his face, and he immediately bends over and starts screaming. Oh, I don't know, dude, what his deal was. It's Gary, Indiana.
Did they fix it?
No. They, he said, yeah, you're probably not going to want to drive this because it's leaking gas everywhere, but, we'll gladly,
yeah, holy shit, like one spark, the car could have exploded when you guys never, were driving.
Yeah. Never been more afraid of cigarettes in my life.
Oh my God, dude.
Just one flick out the window.
But you guys still got, so did you drive that, you drove that car to the gig. I know that.
Yeah.
But did you drive it home?
Yeah, what happened, and this is the only part of the story I'm glad I was with Dustin, because we got to the show, and the security guard was like, oh, I'd love to get your car fixed for you, Dustin, and he just loved him. So guy brought the car to his brother-in-law's shop, and they fixed it for free.
Holy shit.
I gave him like $10, and they.
I gave him $10. Well, that, I mean, I guess
that was making nothing on that show.
Yeah, because
I lost everything. I lost actually probably $200, at least.
Oh God, man. So the other story that I loved from the last time was the infamous threesome. So we don't want to get into anything specific as far as his relationship goes, because we don't want to cause any problems. But I think it's easy to say that he enjoys the attention from pretty much anybody.
But that's for sure.
Ladies, gentlemen, he loves taking pictures with people. So I mean, it's not far out of the realm that he'd be interested in some companionship.
Well, he's lonely out there on the road.
So you guys at where was this? Was it Minot?
No, this was in Hudson.
Hudson, okay. So it was you and him, and did you meet these two girls after the show?
Yeah, what happened was he wanted to go out after the show looking for something.
Well, he needed his fix of like people going, hey, aren't you Screech from Saved by the Bell? Well, yes, I am. Let's chat about that for an hour.
Yep. So we went to a bar that was close to the bed and breakfast where we were staying. It was probably two miles away, and I don't know. I don't even remember how it happened, but he met two girls there.
Yeah.
And brought
Let's get to the good part, Randy. So you and him and these two girls are in his bedroom together, or his hotel room together.
Yeah, each hotel had like a jacuzzi.
Well,
in the middle, and so he's like, "Why don't we all sit in here?"
No. So you, him and the two girls were all in the jacuzzi together?
We all were.
Naked?
Nope.
Oh, just on.
One of them was close.
Oh, pretty close.
But she wasn't quite naked.
Yeah. So he makes a statement at some point where he says, anyone that's not sleeping in this room needs to get out.
He was trying to be nice. And
yeah. So you stood up, assuming one of the women would go with you.
I thought so.
And no one moved.
Nobody moved except for me.
So you had to make that awkward stroll out of the room as you waved goodbye.
That lonely walk back alone.
So you chatted with him the next day. What happened in that room, Ren? Because one of the girls you said fell down and hit her head on the floor.
One of these girls was a 21-year-old, highly intoxicated.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not doing anything.
I'm saving my boobs for my boyfriend. What did you say she said?
I only show my boobs to people I love.
Oh, boy. And she was in love with
a
gentleman in prison.
He is in prison for 4 more months.
Oh, my God, dude.
So at some point in the night, she gets mad and gets up and leaves. And the bathroom floor was still wet from the jacuzzi.
Oh, my God,
and she just slips and hits her head right on the sink.
Oh, my God.
And apparently she bled everywhere.
Oh, my God, dude.
And her,
it's one of those classic stories about the famous guy killing a hooker in his hotel room. But you ended up running into the other girl in the morning. She was just hanging out outside?
Yeah.
What did she have to say about anything?
She said nothing. All right. She is smoking her cigarette.
Was this the same night where you had to get him back to Minneapolis at a certain time?
No, this was a different night.
Okay.
It was the same night, though, that he did threaten to stab a dude.
We're going to get into that part of this, too, because that's a big part of this catch-up, because since the last episode, he has been, I guess, convicted of trying to stab somebody on Christmas Day, but now he's appealing it and he's out on bail. So what was the events surrounding him trying to stab somebody that day?
Well, we did comedy on a boat.
Oh, was it the laugh boat?
It is a laugh boat.
Oh, my God, the laugh boat.
And it's kind of an older audience. They're more, I'd say, conservative.
Yeah.
And what had happened is apparently these 4 guys got mad and they didn't like the show. So they went downstairs where they didn't have to hear it, which I think they still had to hear it.
Yeah.
They're stuck on a boat.
For sure.
There's no escaping.
I'm on a boat.
And so after the show, Dustin and I are walking downstairs, and he sees these 4 guys sitting there, and he's like, hey, you guys missed the show. And one of them was just like, yep. And Dustin, just out of nowhere, he's like, I'd hate to have to stab someone. And I was like, what? So that came out of left field.
Seems like he's got kind of a short fuse.
He has a very short fuse.
But let's recap the last story. That's one of my favorites from the last episode, and then we'll get into the new stuff. But, like, all the stuff you told me about being Screech's opener, like, it's just so baffling to me because, you know, you're just such this good guy and you're always, like, trying to do the right thing and try to get the thing set up perfectly. So you had this situation where you needed to get him from Minot to Minneapolis so he could catch a flight back to Milwaukee.
Right.
So you had this timeline set. You, like, even missed sleep yourself to make sure that you were set to go. And you got up the next day and you couldn't find him. He wasn't in his room. He wasn't anywhere. And then when you finally find him, like, it's a race to the finish line.
Oh, yeah. That was probably the most pissed off I've ever been in my entire life. Because
saying something like, oh, don't worry, you can just drive me to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that just made me so mad. I don't think I've ever been more mad.
And this, of course, was like at the end of everything where you were really contemplating, like, this is going to be the last time that I see this guy.
Yeah,
that's so done.
That's when I knew. I knew I was done.
God, I can't imagine driving from Minot to Minneapolis.
How long of a drive is that?
That's like 8.5, maybe?
Yeah.
Just like despising the person in the chair next to you. Like, That's a long time to just stew the whole way there. And in your head, you're just like, just get him to the fucking airport. Get him to the fucking
airport. And I got excited at one point because he's like, I'm going to miss my flight. And so he was talking to his wife, and they were going to buy a ticket from Fargo and just spend the extra money. And I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to go to Minneapolis anymore. I was living in Duluth.
Yeah.
It was already 2 hours out of my way to actually more than that because it's there and back to Duluth again.
So then they make the decision like, well, Randy will just drive you to Milwaukee.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll just pay for your gas.
Yeah,
and in right. my head, I was like, no, you won't.
That's not happening.
You're not even going to help. His reasoning for never helping with gas is you are going to drive yourself there anyways.
But like, I just love, you're just speeding and speeding and speeding, and all this shit has gone on. You drop him at the airport, and his parting words to you.
He opens his door. He looks me dead in the eyes, and he says, Randy, you need to turn your life around. And he shuts the door.
Oh, my God.
And man. I've never seen him since.
It's so crazy, man. And so we taped that first episode. I feel like it was around, you know, because we were doing the Dakota stage in Bismarck when we taped that show.
Yeah.
And we didn't, I haven't been back there this season because they only do like a limited run. So it was last year, like in the fall sometime.
I think I want to say it was last August.
Yeah. Is it true that when I posted the episode, like he contacted you and tried to get you to not put it up there or whatever?
He did contact me, and I'm pretty sure I've been getting calls from him on my phone.
Oh my God, dude.
And PlayStation Network.
Jesus. I doubt that he even listened to the episode. He just saw your name and his name together and was like pissed off that you would actually go on a podcast and like tell a story or whatever.
Right. He always messages me on the PlayStation Network, and it's like, hey, man, call me. Oh, like, I'm not going to call you.
Now, on that first episode, we didn't cover something, and since then, I've always wanted to ask you about it because you're very, very close to him, and you spent a lot of time in close proximity. But I was doing a show in Rochester, New York, and he had been there the week before that I was there, and I asked him how it went. And all they could talk about was how much cocaine that he was doing. Like, they said at one point, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that he stopped his headline set at one point and had the MC come back on stage so he could go do cocaine in the storage closet and come back on stage. And I'm like, that seems like a really bad problem when you have to stop your set to go get more cocaine in your system. Now, not what you've heard, not the rumors. What have you seen with your own eyes as far as his drug use goes?
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, man. Is it cocaine or what's his thing?
Everything.
Everything is his thing?
Anything.
Just weed, cocaine?
Not a lot of weed.
Really?
Yeah, none.
What seems to be his big thing?
He loves his cocaine.
Loves his cocaine, man.
In North Dakota, that same trip.
Jesus Christ.
I know he spent at least $1,500.
Oh, my God.
In all of 4 days.
Did he ever try to rope you into it?
Oh, every time. He's like, hey, man, I got this so we could party.
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, I don't want to stay awake.
So it's just cocaine? He wasn't on anything else?
I know. He does Xanax.
Not
prescribed.
I don't know too much about Xanax. Isn't that a pill that's supposed to, like, relax you or something?
Yeah, it's an antidepressant.
Oh, okay.
But if you snort it, you start to nod out. It's and apparently that's a good time.
Was he doing that in the car while you were driving? He's fucking crushing Xanaxes and snorting them.
Yes, he was.
Oh my god!
He had a McDonald's tray for his buffet of pills.
Oh my god, dude! This sounds like the saddest thing ever. Like one of those,
like those brown
big breakfast trays.
It was the actual food tray.
Get the fuck out of here! He had the tray from McDonald's covered in drugs.
Yeah, he had the whole thing with us so that he could crush him up easier as we were driving.
God, I was thinking,
which
was
really
like,
stupid on my part. Yeah, I could have gotten a lot of trouble.
Well, that was the thing too. Like, I've done tons of podcasts with my buddy Joe Cocazzello, and he's always got weed on him. And I've never done anything like drug wise or anything, and he's always in my car with drugs, and I'm just like, what the hell am I thinking?
So much trouble for this.
But even, I mean, for him, even more like cocaine and Xanax, all that kind of shit. Because we were talking about the night that he allegedly tried to stab somebody on Christmas Day, and like, it sounds like he was there to try to get drugs.
Right. I think he was. He dreams some Michelob Ultra. I don't think he's drinking Michelob Ultra on Christmas Day.
So from what I read, it said that people were hassling his girlfriend or wife. I don't know if she's a wife or... So that's when he was protecting her.
I mean, from what it sounds like, his side of the story... He went to go close their bar tab, which I don't know. But he went to close their bar tab, and he turns around, and a guy is pulling her hair.
Oh, boy.
And so he comes up, and apparently he pushes this guy away. And while he's pushing this guy away, stabs him in the armpit.
Oh, boy.
What I think is funny, though, is three times in the police report, he told the officer, "Oh yeah, I might have stabbed him with my pen."
So at this point, they've actually, like in the case, they've confirmed that it was a knife and not a pen.
Yeah, it was a butterfly switchblade knife.
Holy
which
shit!
Which is illegal.
Oh my god, he stabbed a guy in the armpit with a butterfly switchblade?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was,
Holy shit. And he's not in jail right now.
No.
He's out.
That blows me away. How can you stab somebody? It's on YouTube, I'm pretty sure there's a video of him stabbing that guy.
They
had
surveillance
at the bar.
Oh my god, dude.
And I know for a while it was online.
Holy shit, man. So he appealed that, and now he's fucking still touring. I just don't get it, man.
I'm scared that somebody's going to set me up and not tell me I'm working with him. I'm going to show up at a comedy club and be like, oh, I wonder who's...
You're working with Screech. And you just hear the noise of a blade being like... Come here, Randy. I want to talk to you about your funny podcast episodes you've been talking about.
I've had a couple of dreams where I had opened for him again.
Yeah.
And nightmares.
But you were telling me, too, that there was you had a ton of gigs booked with him, and he was... And he was canceling him on you because he broke his leg or something.
Yeah, that was a story.
That wasn't why he was canceling the gigs?
No.
Was he just in some kind of drug haze at home or something?
A pretty bad one. He canceled these shows. He had his manager actually call me and tell me that.
He has a manager?
He does.
What's his manager's name?
Roger Paul.
Roger Paul.
He's actually the... Yeah.
That's so crazy, man. Was he... So if he didn't break his leg, why was he canceling these shows?
He ended up calling me, and he's like, hey, dude, the reason I'm canceling these shows is because I'm going through withdrawals from these painkillers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That... He was snorting, and he's like, I'm so sorry for all the times I tried to get you to do those with me, because these withdrawals are terrible.
Oh my God, man.
But this poor place that we were doing stand-up at, it was February. He canceled the shows like 2 days before we were supposed to go.
Oh, my God.
Because of his broken leg. And then in April, we were going back, and it was Friday, Saturday, and I drive all the way to his house, of course, from Duluth.
Of course.
Yeah. Stupid. And I get there just to find out that he's trying to make me call the comedy club and tell him that we're not going to make it.
Why weren't you going to make it?
Because of his withdrawals again.
Oh, my God, man.
That's so ridiculous, man. It happens then. We end up canceling Friday, and the club is pissed at us.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have to call. He made his manager do it.
Yeah.
I was not about to call. I was just got to his house after a 5-hour drive and to walk into that.
Well, I know when I'm out on the road sometimes with Joe and he needs to buy some weed or whatever, like every once in a while I'll end up in a very sketchy situation, like in a house or with somebody that I don't really want to be there, and it looks weird and it feels strange. Like out on the road, did you ever find yourself in any kind of those situations with him trying to get drugs?
I ended up in a few of those situations. Most of the time, here's what happened. He would say, "Hey, go ask those people if they like to party."
Is that the code word?
That's the code word. And I was like, what do you mean?
I did not know that, apparently. Well, good thing I didn't ask people if they wanted to party. Because apparently that's a code for bad things.
What kind of party are we talking? But we were in Windham, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And
the Fat Pheasant?
The Fat Pheasant.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the first time that he... That was like maybe our second week of shows together. But he's like, "Hey, I can't ask people for Coke because they'll be like, oh, Dustin Diamond asked me for Coke," and they'll tweet about it and stuff. But he's like, since nobody knows who you are, why don't you go and ask him? And I was scared at first. I was nervous. I want him to like me. So
you went and asked for Coke?
No.
Oh.
What happened, I went up and stood behind him, and I was going to talk to him, but I was like, I can't ask these people for Coke. Oh, what am I doing?
So you said, "Do you guys like to party?"
So I just like waited till Dustin looked away and kind of just wandered and then came back to him, and I'm like, no, they don't like to party.
They don't like to. Because that's like, listening to this, that's got to be like the hardest part about it, is like he is a celebrity, a B-list celebrity. Like, I don't know how he gets his drugs, because he can't just go around and be like, "Hey, you got some drugs?" And then it's just like people are Facebooking and Instagramming it, like, "Hey, I'm hanging out with Dustin. Cocaine everywhere." You know, like, he's got to keep it on the down low. So I wonder how he pulls that off.
I don't know. Most of the time, he'll just find the sketchiest person in there.
Yeah.
And talk to them, and they always, they're
who's
trying
never
to...
watched 80s television. Who right. the fuck is this guy? I need some cocaine, yeah.
He does, he's very, he can manipulate people into what he wants, but...
Yeah.
If he finds a sketchy person and asks them, and they're like, "Oh, I'm talking to Dustin Diamond, I'll do whatever he wants."
God, man.
Just because they're, I guess, starstruck, or whatever you'd call it.
It just seems insane that he was even granted an appeal.
I can't believe it.
He's got some kind of golden parachute, man. It's ridiculous.
That just makes me so mad that you can stab someone and not be in jail just because of either who you are or the money that you have.
God, there were so many great stories from that first podcast, man. The fact that you just got tired of him the one day and just stopped answering his phone calls and his text messages, and he tried to convince you that he got robbed by some black guy in the parking lot or something.
Yeah, there was two black guys, he said. We're at...
That's right.
This place is lit up, and it's there's nothing close.
Yeah.
And I want to say he was getting back from wherever he went. I ended up leaving him. But I don't know where he was, but it was like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he's trying to call me like, well, actually, you know what? He didn't call me. And this is kind of weird, but he just later that day, he's like, hey, man, I got robbed this morning. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, two black guys came up to me, and one of them shoved me against the building, and the other one was like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to bed. And the guy's like, no, you're not.
Didn't we establish on the first podcast, too, that he was a pathological liar?
Yeah,
he is. He just would lie for the sake of lying.
Fun of it.
And he would, like, take your experiences and, like, tell people that they were yours.
I forgot about
that. Like, some lady, like, told you sucked, and then he told his manager, like, I was on stage for, like, 5 minutes. Some lady yelled, you suck, and you were, like, sitting right next to him. Like, that was fucking me. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
He, like, calls his buddy, like, dude, I live in Duluth, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is my life, stop it.
I don't know why I was trying to live my life. The other thing that happened was we were that same, him trying to steal my stuff. I was just talking, I don't know, just bored, telling him I was going to open with a joke about how I learned at a young age that you always want to leave an audience wanting more, and then I was just going to walk off the stage without saying anything. And so then the host for the show comes up, and I'm still sitting there with Dustin, and he's like, hey, man, I wrote this new joke today that I'm thinking about trying. I'm going to close with it. And then he goes and tells him the same exact thing I just said. He's like, I was thinking about saying that you always want to leave a crowd wanting more and then just walk off stage. And I was like,
it was like seconds before said that.
It wasn't even a minute.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, would he just... Would you see him just lie about things for no reason? Just all the time? Maybe it's just, like, his thing. Like, you know, he's lived with the celebrity since he was so young that just, like, a normal day, maybe he just feels like nobody wants to hear that, so he has to, like, spice it up.
He's got
to
make things good.
Like, how was your day, Screech? Like, I had breakfast and I came here. Like, no, he's got to spice it up. Like, I got robbed by two black guys in Minot when I was in Minot. I've been in Minot many a times. I've never seen a black person in Minot.
No.
And I've been to a lot of different places in Minot.
You know what I was honestly thinking when he said that? That he was trying already to come up with a lie to tell his wife when she found out that he spent that kind of money.
Oh, yeah, because the first day he was up there. So I was thinking he was
maybe practicing on me for his lie that he was gonna tell her.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I've talked about it a bunch of times on the podcast about my gambling. And there was many a times where I would go out on the road and I would gamble away all the money that I was making that week, plus all the shirt money I made, plus some money out of my checking account. And every time I would come home, like, I was my wife now, she was my girlfriend then, fiance, like, I would always come back and I would never have any money, you know, and she would, like, question me about it, and my explanations or whatever would be just like, the road's expensive, like,
right,
I'm spending gas, I'm spending hotels and food and whatever. And I just never had any money, you know. And from her point of view, obviously, she's like, well, why the hell are you doing this job? You're not making any money. Like, there's no profit margin to it. Like, you're literally going out, making money, spending it all, and coming back with nothing, you know.
Right.
And the flip side of it was I was just wasting it all on gambling. And obviously, I don't want to tell her that because it's right. a problem. But it's like got to be the same way with Screech. If he's doing that many drugs, he's going out and making all this money. He's coming home with nothing, you know. He's got to come up with more and more elaborate scenarios as to where his money went. Like the first couple of weeks, he comes home and, well, I didn't realize how expensive it is, like how expensive gas and, you know, and she probably let him slide on that. Like, yeah, I guess we didn't like budget it correctly or whatever.
Right.
And then as the time goes by, now he's got to get robbed by black guys and
now know, he's got to get worse
extorted
and worse.
And, you know, held up at gunpoint just to come up with some good lie as to why he has no money.
That's another thing I found out later on after working with him. I found out he gets a traveling fund.
From who?
From his management or the club. I think it's in his contract. But his traveling fund is more than I made any given week.
Well, that was the thing, too, was
and
that
I'd have to drive out every, and pick him up and never...
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, too, was like his every contract that he made, you were never included in the contract.
No.
You would show up places and they would pay him his money.
And they never...
And then you'd be like, where's my money? And they're like, who the fuck are you? You
yeah. know? Like, that's exactly...
How many fights you had with places just to get your side of the money because he never even put it in the contract.
Right. So many times I'd show up and they're like, oh, you must just be Dustin's driver, huh?
Well, I mean, the logic... Because it's the way that my gigs are set up when I bring somebody with me is there's a phrase called it's all in, which basically means all encompassing. Like the money we're giving you is supposed to cover you, your opener.
All right.
You know, a lot of times, like, they won't even bother with the hotel. Like, all that money is all in. That's your money for the gig. And I think they probably just figured that, because that's what every comic who's famous and is bringing somebody with them, they pay them out of their money.
Right.
You know? It's just and like,
he
just what the fuck?
Didn't
he doesn't
do
even
it.
Include you in the contract.
Nope. And I finally had to talk to Roger about that. And yeah. Be like, what's going on that every single place we go to has
You're
no idea.
For your money. Yeah. And he's got this big bag of travel money.
Yeah, that he's not even
giving to you at
travel
all.
Travel funds.
Dude, that drove me nuts. There was a guy I worked with early on in my career called Artie Fletcher. He was from New York City. Calls me up on the phone and he's like running this bunch of BS past me that like he was sponsored by Smirnoff Ice. And they give him this this credit card where he just charges everything on the road and they pay the bill. So he's like puts his food and his drinks and his gas and everything on this card. And he goes, hey, if you pick me up at the airport, drive me around, take me to Little Rock, like everything will be covered on this credit card. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. I've never heard of that. Like, that's amazing. First words out of his mouth when he gets into the car with me, I forgot the credit card at home. So
oh
we're going to have to
God.
Split everything. And I was like,
get
liar,
out.
liar,
liar.
But it's just like you see this stuff, and I try my hardest. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I try not to be that guy that screws people on stuff. You know, and
right.
you see other people and what they're doing. You know, like one of these guys I worked with early on, he would take all the money, and then he would pay the people on the show with his money. So you never really kind of knew
what
the payouts were. You know, you're just kind of so young that you're getting $25 for a show or $50
excited.
For a show, and you're like, wow, this is great, you know. And they try to explain it away like, well, I got you the gig. I drove you here. I gave you a meal. Like,
so I get everything.
$50 should be enough, and I'll take the rest or whatever. And
then you find out it's $1,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, you think of that shit, you're just like, you know, here's this guy who's obviously probably got a lot of money still rolling in from residuals from Saved by the Bell and merchandising and whatever and comedy gigs. And he's getting a specific budget to pay for travel, which means gas, hotels, food.
Right.
And he gives you none of it.
Nothing.
Not a penny.
Nope.
Did he ever, like, buy your lunch, throw you $20 for gas.
One time he bought my lunch.
What? Yeah. Where was this?
This was in Watertown.
Holy shit.
This was like the second day that I met him. He was trying to McDonald's? Leave a good impression. Arby's.
Well, top shelf, my man. Let me put on my monocle and my top hat. Let's go get some of that top shelf roast beef.
Yep.
God, man. What a douchebag. Just drives me crazy because I know you, Randy, and I know how nice of a guy you are and how much of a good guy you are. And the fact that this guy took advantage of you for that long just drives me bonkers.
It makes me mad that I let it happen.
Well, you know. You're on to better things at Best Buy. If not, we'll get you more gigs. You're a good man. If you ever see Randy and Carlo on a bill, get out there and laugh with him. He's definitely doing something different than other people, which makes him stand out. He is a character inside and out. Still love that joke, man. Oh, this might sound crazy, but I want to date that baby. Anything you want to promote, Randy? You got any Twitters or Facebooks or anything?
Well, my Facebook, Randy and Carlo. Well, and Twitter, at Randy and Carlo.
There it is. I think my audience would be amiss if I didn't put your feet to the fire with five horrible questions.
I've heard
this. Did we do the five horrible questions?
Nope.
Oh, all right. Well, they're five questions that can be uncomfortable. Sometimes, you know, people just, they're not. They just zoom past them and say something non-entertaining. But, you know, feel free to give whatever you want to say. Question one. If someone gave you $50 million to never tell another joke professionally or personally, would you take it?
In a heartbeat.
You know what's funny is, like, when I first started doing these, every comic was like, no way, man. Like, I need to be funny. And I gotta tell you, man, in the last, like, 6 months, I'm hard-pressed to find somebody that's not taking the money. Maybe it's just, like, the the economy is turning and they need that money, man.
I could be completely serious for the rest of my life for $50
million. Well, I think Mike Brody had the best answer. He goes, for $50 million, I can just make another Mike Brody to just go out there and tell my jokes, and I can sit in the audience and enjoy him become famous with my material.
That is the best answer. As I reap
the benefits.
Oh, that's funny.
Do your best famous person impression.
Oh, God. I can't do impressions.
You got anything?
No. It's embarrassing even trying.
Oh, my God, dude.
What? I'm trying to think. There's nothing.
You got nothing?
No.
Oh, shit.
I can't do impressions.
All right. We'll move on to the next question. Name a comic you don't get along with and why. Like, if you walked into a condo and this person was sitting on the couch, you'd go, oh, God. Oh,
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin, what the fuck am I doing? I swear to God, that wasn't set up. I actually said that question. And, like, as soon as your face is staring at me, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? We can just pass right over that. We just did two full episodes on the one comic you dislike.
That is the and one why. Guy.
Let's just zoom to question four. Tell us about the meanest thing you've ever done to a person on purpose.
The meanest thing I've ever done to somebody. Probably this podcast.
We're zooming right to question five. So question five is obviously the hardest one, and that is reveal something on the podcast you've never told your girlfriend.
I have no idea. I was going to say something funny, but I was like,
You got nothing.
I've got nothing. She knows everything about me.
That's terrifying. But I'm the same way, you know. You know, it's like, I think the saying goes, no person sleeps the best until they lay their head down on the pillow and know that there's no more secrets or something like that, you know. And I think that's the way it is, man. You know, it's like some people I think are just wired for like secret lives and just like secrets or whatever. And you know, good people that have good souls, after a while, it just eats away at them, and they just kind of have to get it all out. Just right. Go back to zero, you know. Someday, Screech, I think, is going to have to do that if he ever wants to get back to zero.
I don't see it happening.
Well, after the appeal, we'll have to have you back on to update this story.
There's one more thing. I don't know if this was the last time we did the podcast, but
yeah.
Did I tell you that he called the bar in Duluth the comedy club? He called Dublin Pub.
And said what?
He was looking for me, and he's like, hey, I just saw that Randy deleted his Facebook, which I didn't. I blocked him. I didn't delete it.
Dude, that could be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Listen, I was just on Facebook trying to search Randy, and it appears that he deleted his Facebook. No, Dustin, when someone doesn't want you to see their Facebook, they do something called blocking. So it makes it appear they no longer have a Facebook because you can't search them. What's this all about? You block him on Facebook, he calls Dublin trying to find you.
Yeah, and I don't even know how he... I guess he was booked there at one point, but I didn't think he remembered.
Oh, my God, dude. That is kind of creepy. And like,
too much stuff. That's what I was...
And to this day, he's still trying to contact you.
I think every single day. I've never gotten restricted calls from anybody else besides him.
God, what is it with him and you, man? You're just the one guy that fucking bought into his bullshit, you know? You were just like the one guy who
dealt with it for...
That just got on the train. And I understand it, man. I get it. I was there as a young comic. Like, just the thought of being able to tour with somebody semi-famous and get to go to all these places and be on the road. Like,
first, they were all sold out and stuff. We'd do, like, crowds of 300 people at a place. I was there 2 months before, and we had 20.
Yeah, man.
It was crazy.
It's great, you know, but sadly, you get saddled with the one guy that's just a complete douchebag, you know.
Yep.
And there's a lot of them out there, especially like the B-level stars, like the fucking Biffs from Back to the Future and fucking Skippies from Family Ties and J.J. Walker's like...
No, yeah.
They're just...
It seemed like J.J. Walker was everywhere right before we were.
Yeah, and it's just like... Why be a dick, you know? Like, be grateful that you're still part of the, whatever, the zeitgeist, you know? you're still a part of it, you know? And
right.
It's like, whatever, man.
So. But when he called Dublin's, he was, going back to that, he called and he talked to the bar manager. It was Courtney, it was working, is her name. And
yeah.
He's like, hey, I was just wondering, Randy deleted his Facebook. Did he kill himself yet?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a weirdo, man.
And I was like, what a dick.
You know what we should do is we should call him and ask him if he's deleted his Facebook.
You should look it up on your phone. And.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to unblock him.
Do you think it'd be kind of a shitty move to fucking post this podcast on his Facebook and tweet it to his Twitter?
Probably. Although, you know, ever since the stabbing, I've noticed he doesn't tweet anymore.
Oh, my God, dude.
He's following 100 people, and I'm one of them.
Oh, my God. What a creepo.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Watch your back, man.
I won't tweet anything.
If you hear a switchblade open, I would turn tail and run. Any last words for Screech before we wrap this up?
I've got nothing for him.
And that's what you should have had in the beginning. There's nothing for him. Randy, thanks for coming on the program again.
Thank you.
And safe travels out there and watch your back.
Thank you.
And that was Randy Ancarlo. Such a great interview. A lot of fun times with that guy. And so glad he was back on. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. You can get this podcast at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Tuned In, anywhere there's podcasts. And check out my website, largedrunkman.com, for my upcoming dates. If I'm going to be in your area, come by and say hi. And yeah, this week, tomorrow night, I will be on Live at Gotham, or I believe they call it Gotham Comedy Live. Starting at 8 o'clock. It's on Access TV. Please make sure you tune in and check out my set. And yeah, I appreciate you tuning in. And tune in next time when we talk about who knows.